15th at 7 p.m. is the West Regional Championship Match. Ticket prices are $10 for reserve seating, $8 for general admission, and $5 for students with ID and seniors. Children under 2 are free. So come out to Casulas Arena and support your number one nationally ranked and undefeated Coyotes as they pursue CSUSB's first national championship. For more information, call 909-537-5011.
You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
NBC News Radio, I'm Melissa Rayberger. New York City has won a round in court against the Occupy Wall Street demonstrators. A judge says the protesters do not have a constitutional right to live in a Manhattan park and will no longer be allowed to camp there. Jerry Sandusky, the former Penn State coach accused of child sexual abuse, proclaimed his innocence in an interview on NBC's Rock Center program last night. NBC's Allison Cartervold has reaction from the Penn State campus.
They feel that this is just extending the pain and shame that they feel over these allegations already.
A Catholic bishop in Kansas City will have to report to the county prosecutor's office every month for 5 years to discuss any suspected child abuse activities. Bishop Robert Finn has been charged with failing to report suspected child abuse by a priest. Opponents of Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker have launched their drive to try to have him recalled. Activists are motivated by the Republican governor's effort to take most collective bargaining rights away from public employees. I'm Melissa Rayberger, NBC News Radio.
This is Troy Aikman.
And Hulk Hogan with another worry-free shopping tip.
If you're like most people, you're probably holding off until Black Friday to start your holiday shopping.
The countdown has begun.
Well, then you're already behind.
What?
Rent-A-Center's pre-Black Friday sale is going on right now.
Oh, man.
Get to Rent-A-Center and beat the holiday rush for amazing pre-Black Friday deals on Sony smart TVs and Acer laptops. But you better hurry.
Out of my way!
See rentacenter.com for complete details and more information on the worry-free guarantee.
Santa knows if you've been naughty or nice. But did you know he also totally judges you on how clean your house is? Be ready. Walmart has low prices every day on everything you need to pass Old St. Nick's white glove test during the holidays. Stock up on Kleenex hand towels, Clorox disinfectant wipes, Glade holiday baking scent air freshener. You know he loves to bake good. And Hefty trash bags. Oh, and don't forget to clean the baseboards. Nothing escapes the keen eye of Claus. Save money. Live better. Walmart.
The KCAA Weather Center. I'm meteorologist Mary Kay. For tonight, mostly clear skies with a west wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming calm with a low around 49. For Wednesday, you can expect a high around 74 degrees, calm winds and sunny skies. And Wednesday night with a low around 51, clear skies and a calm wind. Looking ahead to Thursday, sunny skies with a high near 73. And Thursday night with mostly clear skies and a low around 49. That's your weather forecast for this hour from the station that leaves no listener behind. NBC News Radio, AM 1050 KCAA.
At 4:03, I'm Brett Malik with this Inland Empire traffic update brought to you by 99 Cents Only Stores. Are you ready for Thanksgiving festivities? Stop by 99 Cents Only Stores to make a memorable feast. Pick up Boston Market turkey gravy and mashed potatoes for only 99.99 cents each. On the 91 eastbound, that's slowing down from Gibson Canyon to the 15, and 91 westbound is slowing down from the 215 to Arlington. It is currently 67 degrees outside the studios of AM 1050 here in downtown San Bernardino. We have Taking Your Business Seriously with Gary Campolino. Coming up next, I'm Brett Malik on the station that leaves no listener behind and your radio home for University of Redlands Bulldogs playoff football this Saturday morning at 10 a.m. versus Mary Hardin Baylor right here on AM 1050 and KCAAradio.com.
Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company has been serving the greater Inland Empire for over 60 years. For all of your printing needs, from full-color printing to high-speed copying and everything in between, go to Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company. Their staff is committed to your total satisfaction. Great service isn't just lip service at Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company. It's the way they do business year after year. Having trouble finding drafting supplies? Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company still carries a complete selection. Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company is rated high in customer satisfaction by ValueStar, an independent rating company. For all of your personal or business printing, call Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company at 909-792-3478. That's 792-3478, or visit them on New York Street in Redlands off the I-10 and the Crosstown Freeway.
Robert Cardoza Live, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Robert Cardoza Live, talking politics, money, and you. Weekdays at 5 p.m., Robert Cardoza Live, bringing together politics, money, and you. Here on KCAA 1050 AM.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously with Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Here now to help you take your business to the next level, the host of Taking Your Business Seriously, Gary Capolino.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we're going to talk about the moment of business failure. If you have a question relating to the subject of small business, you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage, or you can call us at area code 888-909-1050. If you call us during our show, we will do our best to answer your question during our show. Okay, on the subject of business failure, we've talked before about the causes of business failure, but what we're going to get into today is a little bit more in terms of the process that ultimately brings a business down. Okay, so in order to do that, I guess what we need to get into first is a little bit of a definition of the generic issue, what constitutes a business. Gary, what constitutes a business?
Well, it's a company or a individual who gives out a product or service that they can sell to another person or company that they can. It's just a way to make money.
Right. Right. Okay. And for those of us, well, actually, at either level, whether it's a sole proprietor, an individual, or it's something bigger than that, what are the elements of producing that product or service?
You need to have the materials to make that product or the service. You need to have enough cash flow to sustain your business. And you need to be legally bound. You're a legal entity, and you have the labor to get it done.
Okay, right. Okay. What I was thinking was you have labor, raw materials, overhead, and legal compliance. Okay, so ultimately, with those items, you produce a product. Okay, by definition, we refer to raw materials as the things you buy that go into your product. But ultimately, each of those things, in an account from an accounting standpoint, are the raw materials that go into a business. Okay, and then you have the issue of your customers, preferably your satisfied customers. And how do you maintain satisfied customers?
Well, you give them the product that you deliver or service is something that it's a quality. It's not just something that can constitute that. It's something that puts it above the rest. It stands out as something special. It's not just something anyone can make. And for the most, if you're delivering the product, it's on time and there's no problems with the delivery.
Right. And, of course, the opposite of all that would be what?
Not having a product or service that meets those needs.
Right, or just not delivering it, okay? You can have the best product in the world, but if you don't deliver it, then you got no basis of expecting someone to be paying you for it. All right. So when we talk about a business failure, okay, what we're talking about, and there can be many reasons for this, but we're referring to the interruption in the process of providing a product or service. Okay, so when we talk about labor, what are the reasons that could cause an interruption of the labor component of producing a product or service?
One thing could be that you don't have enough cash flow to sustain the amount of people you need to make this the product, or another one, they may go on strike against you, or something that may affect you is like a natural disaster or something. Maybe your factory may be turned down for some reason that's not of your own control.
Right. So the fact is there are always the internal and the external factors that can cause these things. So it's not necessarily that you don't have a good business, but sometimes elements beyond your control can get in your way. Now, when we talk about a strike, in the context of a small business, although there are industries that even when you are a small business, you do have labor unions or the elements that could cause a strike, or you could have a strike in a company that you're dependent on that can affect it the same way. You can produce your product, get it set for delivery, and then suddenly there's a strike in the company that delivers them. That's part of the process too. Okay, but for these interruptions, you have control and sometimes you don't. Okay, what's the interruption of raw materials that you can have?
Again, it could be a natural disaster that may just stop them from being available to you, or you may have a squabble with your supplier, or your supplier may go out of business for some reason that you can't control, or you're just not able to pay for them.
Okay, do we have any recent examples of natural disasters that could be affecting us in Southern California?
Not lately, but there could be a major earthquake or something of that sort. That's always a big possibility here.
Like maybe the one in Japan?
Yes.
Okay. How has that affected us?
Well, it could cut off our supply of raw materials that may come from Japan or that may be manufactured there that they send to us in the area that we can't get. We no longer have a stream of supply from there, so we may either need to go somewhere else or we just have to do our best to wait it out.
Okay, I know our business wasn't affected by this, but on a personal level, were we affected by Japan?
Yeah, a little bit. When we were recently looking to buy a car, and we got a Honda, and they were telling us that there was a shortage of Hondas in the area because of the Honda manufacturers, the suppliers from Japan were heavily impacted by the earthquake.
Okay, and that's very helpful. I mean, we tend to talk hypothetically about a lot of situations here, but the fact is that's one that is real and it's present, and people in Southern California are affected by these things. If you're dependent on Japanese suppliers, there have been interruptions. All right, and when we talk about overhead, what are we really talking about in terms of the overhead of a business? Not necessarily the interruption, but what is the overhead?
Cash and extra products that we have on hand.
And rent?
Yes, and rent.
And utilities? Okay. So rent, if we don't have a building, and I'm referring to this in the context of if there were to be some natural disaster that ruins our building, then suddenly we have an interruption. Okay, if we were to have a problem with whether it's extreme heat or something along those lines, and the public utilities cannot provide electricity to our plant or facility, that's another thing that would interrupt our production and possibly our ability to deliver a product. Now, if we are functioning as a company delivering a product and we have a significant customer that accounts for 80% of our product, and because of a power outage or something like that, we're unable to deliver our product on time, what does that force our customer to do?
They would second-guess whether or not we're the best supplier for that product.
And if they need the product and we're not delivering it, what would they do?
They'd go to somebody else, or they would go to somebody else if they needed it.
Right, okay. Now, if we are under contract with them to produce a product, and obviously, we buy all the elements that go into this particular product, and then we have a power outage for 3 or 4 days like they experienced in New England the last 3 or 4 weeks, and thus we're unable to deliver the product on time, and it forces the customer to get it from another source because we can't deliver it at the appointed time. Okay? What does that do to the customer that's under contract to produce this stuff?
For us, or?
Well, for the customer that's delivering, supposed to make and deliver the product who cannot deliver it, and when the customer gets it from another source, what happens to the first company?
We're kind of forgotten about.
That's right. That's right. And we're left holding the bag because since we weren't able to deliver the product, while the product may have value to other people, okay, until we find those other people, we're left holding a product that no longer has a customer, or maybe it will have a customer in the future. But there's an immediate huge crimp on the cash flow of the company, don't you think?
Yes, because we would have had to return the money if they paid for it in advance. That's money that we were assuming that we had that all of a sudden we had to give back.
Right, well, that's the deposit, but what about the balance due at delivery?
That's another piece of the puzzle that we're not getting.
That's right. So this could be a very devastating impact on a company. Okay? And then there's the other issue of legal compliance. Okay? Now, this one works on several levels. Okay? And it depends on the long arm of the law and how they deliver or how they deal with certain situations. But if somebody is dealing cocaine out of your warehouse, okay, what happens when they get caught?
The company is liable because it's on your property.
Well, they could just simply shut down the whole company because we're harboring illegal activity. Okay, whether we know it or not, the usual process, I believe, is that they shut down the business and then ask questions. Okay, and they may at some point decide, well, no, these were innocent people, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not that familiar with the legality in the process. But the fact is, this is a serious issue for a company. Okay, you don't want illegal activity going on there. Now, the other thing, though, in terms of illegal elements, can be the way you run your business. Okay, these are not necessarily the elements that will shut you down unless you continually do the same thing. But paying your employees off the books can get you into trouble. Okay? But the other thing can be changes in the law. Okay, now it's hard to immediately think of an example of this, but there can be certain things, whether it's a new legal requirement, and granted, the lawmaking bodies are usually sensitive about these things. But one of the good examples these days is that in the last couple of years there have been initiatives that have been passed that have made marijuana legal in the state of California. But what's the problem with that?
It's technically not legal in the country of the United States.
Yeah, it's not legal at the federal level. So you can carry on your business in California believing you're legal because California won't prosecute you. But guess what? The federal government will. And this is a huge problem. The next issue is that you can legally think that everything is good, but the way the tax system works is any revenue that you generate from a business, legal or not, is taxable. Okay, but the expenses of an illegal activity are not deductible. And for those who are engaged in the business of producing or selling marijuana, this could be a very, very rude awakening. But the fact is that whether it's internal or external, okay, if there is an interruption in the process, in the labor, raw materials, and overhead and legal compliance or legal environment in your company, okay, this threatens the very existence of your company. Okay? Generally, failure comes down to, in the long run, cash flow. Or in my experience, that's the real element. And for the most part, that's what we're going to be talking about today. But we can't be blind to these other realities. And in that sense, that's why we bring them up. This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we're talking about the moment of business failure. And when we return, we'll be talking about the spur of the moment of business failure. If you have any questions relating to the subject of small business, you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage, or you can call us at 888-909-1050. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Attention business owners, do you want to spend more time focusing on your business and less on managing it? In these economic times, you don't need to add another full-time salary to get more effective administration. Take your business to the next level with radio host and founder of the part-time CFO, Gary Capolino, who has been serving Southern California business for over 20 years. He provides outsourced professional services you can afford. Call Gary at 951-653-5053. That's 951-653-5053 or GaryThePartTimeCFO.com.
My name is Meera Batra. I have been in this country 32 years, and this is how I live united. America has always been the land of promise, and in my community, many families have come for a better life. Coming from another culture myself, I know the desire to become part of a community, to feel at home, and to gain the tools for our children and families to succeed. So I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to look beyond their histories and to see what opportunities are available. We help them get involved with their kids' schools, network within the community, and when we do, we unite them. We make the community stronger. What I do is something I wish someone had done for me, and I am so grateful I am able to. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunities and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's up? Thinking about you. XOXOXO. Want to snuggle, dot, 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 JK. Hit me back. You getting these texts, question mark. We should hang later. I miss you. Holla at ya, boy. Holla back. Holla back. Holla back. Are you at home? Where are you? What are you doing? OMG. You are making me mad. Are you with your ex? You better text me back. I'm waiting outside your house.
Relentless, aggressive texting is like sending an angry robot to deliver your message. When does the robot become dangerous? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com.
Thatsnotcool.com.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
My name is Joe Thompson. I'm 29, and thanks to my college degree, I'm a systems analyst. And the college me would tell you.
I wouldn't be here without big brothers, big sisters. My big brother believed in me. And to a 7-year-old...
That means a lot.
My big brother's name is Phil. And Phil is the reason that this 7-year-old grows up to be a systems analyst.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping big brothers, big sisters help a child. Start something today at bigbrothersbigsisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
The station that leaves no listener behind.
KCAA Loma Linda, News Talk Radio for the Inland Empire.
They say I'm crazy, but I have a good time. Life's been good to me so long.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we've been talking about the moment of business failure, and now we're going to talk about the spur of the moment of business failure. If you have a question relating to the subject of small business, you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage, Or you can call us at 1-888-909-1050. If you call us during our show, we will do our best to answer your question on the air. Okay, when we talk about the spur of the moment of business failure, what is a spur, Gary?
A spur is when you go back to your cowboy and Indian days, they were the thing on the back of a cowboy boot that he would press into the horse to make him sprint faster.
Right. So there's an element of pain in the process, and perhaps in the context of your business, when you get that little nudge in your side, it's ultimately because suddenly you're facing business failure. And that's a painful moment. And it requires, as in the horse who goes a little bit faster, it requires swift action. Okay, now we're kind of going to continue on the order of progression that we've covered before, that your first element of labor, and what we're talking about now is specifically the lack of cash for a company. Okay, so ultimately, when you don't have enough cash for things, when do you generally notice this?
Towards when it's getting to that moment where you need to make a big decision.
Yeah, or when you need the cash and it's not there, okay? Of course, at the same time, when the cash is there but it doesn't leave any, that's probably a good moment too. All right, so in the context of labor, I guess we'd be talking about that moment where you can't pay your employees. Would that put you out of business?
Not right away, but it would be certainly leaning towards that if you're not able to pay them. Maybe if you, at that moment, you're able to function on your own for a certain amount of time, and maybe you can get the employees back. But at that time, it's just not a good situation to have.
Sure. Okay, now, of course, in the strength of the employer in this particular situation is that the employees probably don't have another job, and there is a sense of dependence. Now, if it's lunchtime and you don't have a paycheck, but you're promising that you'll have a paycheck by Monday, okay, will your employees leave you?
Some might, but for the most part, especially now when it's at this stage of the United States and the economy right now, they probably don't have another option to go to, so they would stick with you, especially if their experiences with you in the past have been positive for the most part.
Sure. You've always kept your word. You've always been honest with them. Okay, now for the company that has not always kept their word and has not always been honest, that puts them at a bit of a disappointment, a disadvantage. But the fact is, yes, there are some economic issues right now, but ultimately there's another element that we might gloss over a little bit. But in the state of California, how does the state of California feel about paying employees on payday?
Aren't they pretty strict towards it, or are they?
Yeah, it's a legal requirement that employees are paid on payday. Now, if you don't pay them on payday, are they going to throw you in jail?
You might be assessed a fine or something, I'm sure.
And it could turn into an enforcement issue, but it usually requires the process of a hearing with the Department of Labor. So I'm not here to make light of the issue of not paying somebody on payday, but the fact is that your employees could turn you into the Department of Labor, and there could be a hearing, and there could be fines. Okay, I believe the employees could also be entitled to certain extra penalties in paying you after payday. And the approach of giving employees a check and asking them not to deposit it until Monday, they call that a non-negotiable paycheck, because what they're effectively telling you is that that check will not be good if deposited on payday. Now, I, as an employee, have been a little bit aggressive in this particular situation. My policy is I deposit the paycheck on payday, because if that paycheck bounces, while the employer may make it good on Monday, it puts you in a position of having documented the employer's failure to pay you on payday. And when you take it to the Board of Labor, that puts you in a stronger position. Okay? Now, once again, I'm not here to beat on employers or employees. I'm here to provide information to everybody to understand both the consequences of their actions and the power that they possess. All right, well, the other element that goes in this particular process is the active, open communication with your employees. Okay? If your employees love you, they may not come after you, not as quickly as they otherwise would. If this turns out to be just one moment in the middle of a very happy long-term employment, there's no need to go after your employer because you like him, you don't want to hurt him, and he's been good to you. But if that person isn't your employer, then it's a different game. All right, now the next element that we'll touch on has to do with the acquisition of raw materials, the products that you need in the production of your product, of the product that you manufacture or the service that you provide. Okay? Now, this particular process has to do with the process of paying your bills on time. Okay, when is a invoice for product or service usually due, Gary?
30 days after it's given to you.
Exactly. Okay. Does everybody pay their bills in 30 days?
Not everyone.
Yeah. In fact, most people probably don't. But they usually pay them within 45 days. Okay? And generally, most companies, if they're going to tap their customers on the shoulder and ask them, what about that payment, chances are they may do it after 30 days, and they're entitled to, because by definition, it's past due. But when it's 60 days, they probably are going to call you. When it's 90 days, they may start thinking about withholding future product until the old product is paid for. Okay? That's the normal process. Okay? The fact is, just as with your customers, when your customers don't pay you, there are two things that you want. One is you want a continued relationship with your customer, and you want your customer to pay you. So when you were trying to get your customer to pay for the past shipments, okay, your interest is both the continued relationship and the payment for the products that you've sold them. Okay? But after a certain point, when your customer is always late and the 90 days is turning into 120 days and then 150 days and 180 days, at what point do you have to tell the customer that you can't deliver any more product until he brings his bills current? Okay? Now, this is something for everyone to decide. At one end, it's a question of your own financial capacity to deliver product if your customers aren't paying you. At the same time, it's also kind of a reality check that if you're delivering product and you're not getting paid for it, maybe your business is not profitable. Okay, what is the cost of the financial or the cash flow shortage that is caused by people not paying their bills? Okay, and at some point as a provider, you have to cut them off and make them pay it. And if they can't pay it, then suddenly you have a new problem. And if they decide to go somewhere else for their product instead of paying you, okay, now there are a number of issues involved there. But ultimately, it suggests that maybe they were never a paying customer in the first place. All right, now this is the side that goes on from the person who's not being paid. But if you are the person that's unable to pay your bills, at some point in time, your customer, or not your customer, but your vendor may tell you, sorry, okay? They may demand payment. If you do not have the ability to pay them, then suddenly you have a real problem. Now, of course, just like the customer of yours who isn't paying you, that when you cut them off, they may find another provider. Well, you might be able to find another provider, and you might not. Why? Because when you get a new customer, when you find a new vendor and want to buy product from them, what is the first thing that they do when you want to buy on credit?
They want to know if your credit's good.
They want to check your credit. And who would they check with if you're a new customer and you want to buy on credit?
The previous person that you bought from.
Right. Well, they may not be as finely tuned, because a lot of times when you fill out a credit application, this is one of the weaknesses in dealing with small businesses, but how many people do you have as vendors when you're applying for credit?
Not really that many.
That's right, because you're a small business and you only buy a few things. Okay, but how many credit references does the normal credit reference ask for?
Two or three?
Yeah, you're right. So do you include the name of that other vendor when you apply for credit?
As long as you have two or three other good vendors, then no, you leave that one out.
Or even if you don't have two or three other good vendors, you never list the one that's gonna kill you. All right, but at the same time, if the person who you're looking to buy from does his homework, perhaps he asks around to find out where you've been getting this from. Whether he asks you or he just goes to the other guys that are in the business. Competitors talk. So it could be an avenue, it could not be an avenue. Well, the fact is that when you're facing cash adversity, generally it's not getting cut off on your product or on your raw materials what will get you. That's just another complicating factor. There are ways to get around it, and it's not a very clean business, but sometimes it's what you have to do to survive in business. Okay, how about paying the rent? That's something that hits close to everybody. If you don't pay your rent, can that put you out of business?
Yes.
Real fast. Okay, now the fact is, though, that although our rent is usually due on the first of the month, what's the normal grace period that you get on that?
Like 4 or 5 days.
Exactly. All right. So you don't have to pay the rent right on time. But in the context of rent being one of your bigger expenses, is 4 or 5 days enough time to get your rent together if you don't have it?
Probably not. If you got to pull some strings around your business, find out where you have extra cash laying around and try and get it all together and get enough.
But what's unique about rent? Is it a certain payment? Do you know how much you're going to owe?
Yes.
Okay. And do you know when it's due 120 days earlier?
Yes.
Okay. So it's something that, as far as cash flow goes, it's kind of a central element in your business. And usually, if you're not able to pay your rent on time, okay, there may be that 4 or 5 days of wiggle room to get the cash flow or to find a way to pay your rent to keep your doors open. Because if your landlord comes and puts a padlock on your front door, okay, are you able to access your facility?
No.
Okay. And chances are all the things that you consider important in your company, that they're locked in that building. Okay, but the reality is that your rent usually, if you can't pay it in the first 5 days, you usually have 15 days or so. Depends on how aggressive your landlord is. Sometimes he's desperate and he'll put up with it. But just as a reference in my building, after 15 days, you get a letter from the landlord that says quit, which means get out or pay your rent. Okay, now this gives you the ability to take everything off your premises, but at the same time, it doesn't leave you set up to continue to produce your product. Okay, so in that particular sense, that is a relatively huge issue. But the fact is that depending on the economy, And depending on the realities for your landlord, okay, if you don't pay your rent, he can take you to court to get you to pay your rent. And if you continue to stay there, the amount you owe just increases and increases. And in the end, it's for him to get it from you, and it's up to him to push you out of the facility and to limit your ability to generate revenue to pay him, which works against both of you. This is part Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we've been talking about the moment of business failure and the spur of the moment of business failure. If you have any questions, in a minute, we'll be here to talk about staving off disaster. If you have any questions relating to the subject of small business, you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com website. And if you have any questions that you'd like to call us here while we're doing the radio show, you can call us at 1-888-909-1050. Okay? And if you call us during the show, we will do our best to answer on the air. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Attention business owners, do you want to spend more time focusing on your business and less on managing it? In these economic times, you don't need to add another full-time salary to get more effective administration. Take your business to the next level with radio host and founder of the part-time CFO, Gary Capolino, who's been serving Southern California business for over 20 years. He provides outsourced professional services you can afford. Call Gary at 951-653-5053. That's 951-653-5053 or GaryThePartTimeCFO.com.
Sassy!
This week's episode, Fire at the Shed.
Gee, Johnny, this rope swing sure is swell.
Don't I know it.
Hey, it's Sassy. I think she's trying to tell us something. Mr. Gunderson? What about Mr. Gunderson? A fire? Mr. Gunderson's trapped? Where, Sassy? Where? What, Sassy? Now that you've got our attention, you'd like to take a moment to talk about shelter pets? Shelter pets in general are well-adjusted, healthy, and love being with people?
Sassy, we don't have time!
Pets often end up in shelters due to owner problems like divorce or allergies?
That's great, Sassy, but what about the fire?
There is no fire! You're just messing with our heads?
Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
I knew I was stuck at this kid's house for the night. I decided to just go to sleep and get the night over with. But those guys came into the bedroom and got into a massive pillow fight. Let me tell you, it's not easy falling asleep when a sweaty little kid falls on you every 5 seconds. Even after the lights went out, Raleigh and his friends stayed up. A bunch of them snuck up on me to try and pull the hand in a bowl of warm water trick. Well, that was enough for me. I went downstairs to sleep in the basement even though it was pitch black. I left my sleeping bag upstairs and that was a mistake. Because it was freezing. I think it was probably the longest night of my life. When the sun came up this morning, I found out the reason it was so cold. I was sleeping right by the sliding glass door, and some fool had gone and left it open overnight. That really stunk, because if I knew there was a way to escape last night, I definitely would have taken it. To read more about the sleepover, check out Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Last Straw by Jeff Kinney. Explore new worlds and check out more cool books at your local library. And visit read.gov, brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. I'm one out of every four children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. I'm lucky to grow up where I could be whatever I want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for kids like me. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
KCAA and KCAA Internet Television, the station that leaves no listener and no viewer behind.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we've been talking about the moment of business failure, the spur of the moment of business failure, and in a moment we'll be talking about staving off disaster. But before we get too deep into staving off disaster, I just want to point to a couple items that I did not get to the first time around that are rather important considerations, okay? And that is the inability to pay the premiums on your workers' comp policy, okay? What's the major issue about not paying your workers' comp policy, Gary?
Well, if you're in the construction industry, it's just a something that you need to pay, especially if you have unions or anything like that.
Okay, and to take it a little bit higher, by law, you are required to have workers' comp insurance for any employees that you employ. So not only does it put you out of, not only does it cancel your policy and put you out of compliance with the law, but as you just mentioned, in the construction industry, it puts you out of compliance with all your contracts. And when they cancel your policy and you need to get another carrier, what's the first thing that you need?
You need more cash flow or?
You need a deposit premium. So if you don't have the cash to pay for the policy that they just canceled, how are you going to come up with the cash to pay for a new policy? And the approval period on a new policy, while they try to do that as quickly as you can, okay, it's not immediate. And when an insurance policy, insurance company cancels you, what's the first thing that they do?
They let the other insurance companies know that you're not as...
Not so much the insurance companies, but when you are doing business with people and they require insurance, okay, they, in requiring insurance, have the insurance company send to them what they call a proof of insurance, okay? So in sending a proof of insurance to everybody, that tells them when the policy expires. So if I have an insurance policy that's good until next April, and my customers have a proof of insurance that says that it's good until next April, if in the middle of November I don't pay my premium and they cancel my insurance, what is the insurance company's responsibility to the people who have been given proofs of insurance?
They have to let them know that you're no longer covered.
That's right. And so what will, in the construction industry, what will the city of San Bernardino do if I'm out of compliance with their contract?
They'll realize that it's a huge liability and they'll find someone else.
Well, for the moment, they will immediately shut me down. They will not allow me to do any work on the contract until I have another workers' comp insurance policy. Okay? So depending on how long this takes, they will replace you if it takes too long. But for the most part, you cannot function in business without your workers' comp policy. Okay? Construction is a little bit more hard and fast about that. Another area that is also significant is not depositing your payroll taxes. Now, a lot of times when we're paying our employees, we're dependent on cash flow. But our employees are paid in two elements. One is they're paid their net wages. But the payroll taxes, depending on the size of your company, can be due in the next week or the next month. So if you pay your employees weekly, okay, and you're on a monthly deposit schedule, ultimately the payroll taxes that you have to pay your employees is much bigger than your rent, and it may be much bigger than your regular payroll that you have to deposit the next week. If you can't pay your payroll taxes, you'll ultimately find yourself out of compliance. But what the beauty of this, in the initial sense, is that the IRS does not know that you haven't deposited your payroll taxes until you file your payroll tax return at the end of the quarter. But at this particular point, just like we talked about when we were discussing embezzlements last week, and for those of you who would like to listen to our show last week on embezzlements, you can listen to the podcast on the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com website. But in either case, this payment that's bigger than your rent and bigger than your payroll is for each month in the quarter. So by the time you file your payroll tax forms, okay, you may be four payroll deposits behind. This is a huge issue from the viewpoint of the IRS. Not only do you owe money that you're supposed to pay in payroll taxes, but you also owe the money that you're supposed to, that you were withholding from your employees. And this is what they call a trust violation. And this is the kind of thing that can shut down your business. Now, you have a little bit more time to work with this. And it can be very hard to get yourself out of it unless you correct the cash flow deficiencies of your company. Now, in real life, I dealt with exactly a situation like this. And while I can't really get into specifics because of the confidentiality of the client involved, the fact is that just as I described it, the payroll tax, each deposit, was bigger than the rent and bigger than a weekly payroll. And this particular client was behind all three. We filed the payroll tax return, and by the time the notice came from the Internal Revenue Service that it was time, or that they, you know, they needed to pay these amounts by a certain date or they would take the next level of action, we somehow always came up with the ability to pay that. But while all this was happening, things did not immediately get better. And eventually we found ourselves on the final throw with the workers' comp policy. It's time to pay the workers' comp. We were behind on the payroll taxes. And if we didn't pay that workers' comp premium, we were going to be canceled on our workers' comp. And as I said, it was a construction company, and they were facing cancellation of their workers' comp policy. Okay? This would have been the end of their business. Now, the fact is that the reason that they were not paying their workers' comp and were not paying their payroll taxes is because their customers were not paying them promptly enough for them to have the cash flow to make these payments. And in the absence of any other choice before us, what I advised the client to do was to pay the, or write a check to the workers' comp company without the money in the bank and hope that that workers' comp check would clear when additional money was deposited. Now, they also had some support at the bank that they were able to have the bank delay the clearing of the check if the check cleared and there was not money to cover it. They would hold the check for a few days. But in this particular case, the bank's assistance was not necessary because, fortunately for everybody involved, a client check was received that provided the funds that were necessary for this workers' comp situation. And the best way to express the situation is that they lived happily ever after and continue in business to this day as a, in my case, as a former client, but at the same time as a productive company, as a profitable company, and continue along as we would all hope our own business would continue along. All right, but in dealing with this particular situation, it's a game of cash management finesse. Okay? And to deal with this, I recommend the participation of an accountant or a part-time CFO. And the game really has to do with cash management at its finest. Okay? It requires recognizing that you have a problem early enough so that you can deal with it. And once again, it's recognizing that you have a cash flow problem. You do not have enough cash to meet the needs of your business. Now, hopefully, when you recognize this problem, it's something that you can see as a relatively short-term problem, one that will be solved in the near future. But for the moment, everything you do with cash is about saving the company. Your employees need to be paid. And if you're threatened with your product being cut off, you have to pay them. But otherwise, you need to defer those payments as long as you can until you deal with the more significant issues in front of you. You can't get locked out of your premises. That just can't happen. So what you have to do is make sure that you have enough money to pay your rent. Okay? The payroll taxes is an extremely dangerous avenue of financing. But at the same time, when you got nothing to lose, that's the way to go. But understand that if you do not pay your payroll taxes, especially the parts that were withheld from your employees, okay, whether you have a business or not, you will be personally liable for them. So these are all very heavy considerations that you need to make. So in addition to recognizing the scope of the problem, you need to recognize what the important items are. It's a question of who must, and I emphasize the word must, who must be paid. Okay? This is a very, very heavy decision. Okay? Because especially in the very small business, there are personal considerations. Okay? You need to feed your family. Okay? You need to sign your kids up for baseball. But you can't do these things if you can't pay the rent. And you need to know the difference. Okay? And in dealing with one crisis, as you pay your rent and get past that particular trauma, you need to look at the calendar and understand what your next crisis could be. Is your next crisis the payment of the workers' comp premium? Sometimes these two payments are due at roughly the same time of the month. I'm used to workers' comp premiums being due by the 7th or the 9th. They give you usually a week or two to pay them. Your rent, you get 1 week to pay it. So you pay your rent, and then your next trauma is paying your workers' comp bill. Okay? And in that particular sense, you kind of go from one crisis to the other. But then all of a sudden, you receive that check in payment for some of the products and services that you've provided, and now things are a little bit easier. But is the crisis over? Okay? You have this emergency reserve. You know what your next critical payment is because that's the mode of your business that you've reverted to. Okay? It's not a permanent crisis, but hopefully it's a temporary crisis. And in that particular sense, you're not through the temporary crisis until you are caught up on the bills that will put you out of business. And that's what you're dealing with. When you get past that particular point, then the crisis begins to abate. Okay? And probably key in this process for dealing with the crisis and in the foreseeable future is you do a cash forecast. And this is about business planning. Okay? Well, I know we've talked about business plans in the early stages of starting a business. Now you have a functional business and you need to employ a plan that is going to, on a cash flow basis, carry you into the future, if not to the horizon. And I don't mean the horizon as the sunset of your business. I mean continuing your business as long as you can and past the crisis stage and onto greater horizons, getting to the next level, doing all the things that you planned to do when you started. You had a problem, you dealt with it, and then it's onward and upward. Okay? And that's what it's all about. Okay? We learn in our business from our adversity. We make mistakes, create adversity, and in dealing with that adversity, we make ourselves stronger, and we learn from that to be more successful. This has been Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we've been talking about the moment of business failure, the spur of the moment of business failure, and staving off disaster. You can check out our website at takingyourbusinessseriously.com or email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com website. Our special thanks to Brett, our engineer, and the KCAA radio station. Tune to us next week when we'll once again do our best to take your business to the next level. Thanks for listening. Tune in to us next week.
KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind. NBC News Radio, this is Superstation KCAA in Loma Linda with your local news. Now here's what's happening at 5 o'clock. While high gasoline prices continue to pinch pocketbooks, and that may impact holiday shopping budgets, the Auto Club found 16% questioned in a shopping poll will spend a lot less on gifts this year. In fact, two-thirds say they have too many other expenses. More than half cited reduced household income. The junction of Interstate 15 and the 215 at the bottom of the Cone Pass has been identified as one of the nation's worst grade-related bottlenecks for trucks.
Recent studies show that 10,000-plus heavy trucks passing through the junction daily often average less than 15 miles an hour. Traffic backs up 5 miles during peak afternoon and weekend hours. The interchange is only one of three major routes in and out of the Los Angeles area. The San Bernardino Associated Governments is seeking a grant to fund a $324 million improvement project. It is the final stages of environmental clearance. Construction could begin as early as mid-2012. I'm John Fox.
Now to the crime file. A pair of shootings in San Bernardino within 5 hours today has left three people dead. Police responded to a residence on West 8th Street after getting reports of three victims in a home invasion robbery. One of the robbers was killed in a shootout. That was followed by another incident at a home on Hart Street. Two people died in a murder-suicide. Well, looking skyward, astronomers at the Big Bear Solar Observatory have been monitoring one of the largest sunspots in years. Roy Coulter says the eruption is about 50,000 miles long.
This one, in which was particularly large, one of the biggest ones we've seen in quite some time.
We are about halfway through the solar cycle, are we?